You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, now it's time for us to get into our chat with Dr. Thabelo Mamba, and she's going to be speaking to us about obedience in our children. We're going to be talking about obedience. Like I said at the top of the show, we're asking the question, is it possible to raise critical thinkers, raise our children to be obedient, to be good children? I mean, we for some reason, we kind of always measure how good a child is by how well he or she obeys, right? So the doctor is going to help us with how to raise our children to be obedient, as commanded in the Bible. We're going to talk about accountability, and we're also going to talk about raising a child who's a little bit more on the challenging side, someone more headstrong, more stubborn, right? So, Doctor, welcome to the program. This is the Mid-Morning Empowerment. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me on your show today.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. So let's talk about obedience in general. What's the big deal with obedience? Like I said, it seems like we tend to measure measure a child's performance as a human being based on obedience more than anything else. Is that a fact, or is that my own misunderstanding, misinterpretation of what I'm seeing?
Well, obedient is a big term, mm-hmm. I must say.
Okay.
Yeah. And when we look at it, we could say it is a key to happiness and success.
Mm-hmm.
When actually it is, when treated well or when handled well.
Right.
So the general concept then of obedience, when we look at it from the Bible, is actually hearing or hearkening to the higher authority. Mm. We find that obedience in the Bible actually conveys the idea of, you know, positioning yourself under someone, or especially by submitting to their authority and command.
Mm.
So that is in general. So in when we talk about obedience to God's law, this is where lies our perfect freedom.
I like that our freedom lies within the confines of the law. But then when God created us, and he created us with this free will and the power of choice, he even gave us the options to disobey. Like I was just saying a few minutes ago, that God created this beautiful tree, and he even made it look so good, right? He made it beautiful. We're told after every day of creation, he looked at his work and he said, this is good. This is good. So we understand why that tree was so tempting to Adam and Eve. Why does he do that? If he expects obedience, why does he then give us the options and he makes them look so good?
I think, you know, from the very beginning, when God created everything,
mm-hmm.
he was actually saying, let there be, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let there be, and let there be. But when it comes to creating us, human beings, mm-hmm. he brought together his Trinity, mm. himself, God, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and said, let us make man
mm.
in our own image. And that on its own already gave man also the capacity
mm.
or the power. So he had the power of choice already just from that illustration.
Mm.
And mm. and when we look back, in fact, think about it in this way. God doesn't actually force us to himself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he gave us the freedom. We have the freedom to follow and abide with all that he says. And we have the freedom not to do so. That, I think that's where everything comes. Think about what happens to our first parents in Eden.
Mm-hmm.
They were given obedience as a rule of life.
Mm-hmm.
And then, in that whole setting, we find that Eve was then tempted. And when she was tempted, she yes. was tempted to either make a choice to obey or disobey.
Mm-hmm.
So God knew exactly what he was doing.
Right.
Because God wants you to make that choice for him.
Mm.
So now that's when we come now to see now we are dealing with a lot of disobedience.
Yeah.
And from hence, from situation, that's where a lot of disobedience started, even from with the children of Israel and the generations that followed.
Mm.
And as we are seeing it today, there's also a lot of envy. There's also a lot of jealousy. There's a lot of strife that has been introduced from way back without us being aware.
Mm. Mm.
Now we're living with it.
Mm. So when we look at that image that you've just created of our first parents and how God gave them these options and how God has given us obedience as a rule of law, right? And yet he still leaves it up to us to make that final decision whether we're going to obey or not. Now, bringing that into our context as human parents of human children, how do we then translate that into the way that we raise our children? The Bible commands them to be obedient in the Lord, to obey their parents in the Lord. But how do we do that while at the same time allowing them that free will that every human being is created with?
Yes. This is one of the interesting part of the question. I was looking at it and I was thinking to myself, you know, I wonder if she's understanding that this concept is very deep and difficult.
No, that's why we had to rope you in.
because you must remember, with obedience came also the fall of man, right?
Mm, mm.
And from that part alone, then we have to now understand we're going to be living with a lot of infirmities from those that are around us, and a lot of mistakes are going to happen.
Yeah.
A lot of things are going to go wrong. So, but if God is honored in our earthly homes, then we find that the family will be happy. That is one important thing that I think we need to highlight, because sometimes we parents, we have kids, maybe we're too busy with our daily lives, with our work routines, but we don't have time for them, and then we don't even have that opportunity to actually see through as to what is happening around them. And that actually makes us to be, I can't say the worst parents, but maybe ignorant.
Right.
Okay. So as disobedience caused loss of Eden, then it might be also the same thing that might cause our homes to have frictions, our home to have a lot of losses that we might not even explain.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we identify a loss just merely as, for example, having lost somebody through death. But when it comes to relationships, when it comes to family setup, we've got a lot of secondary losses that comes with not having some expectations that we had, especially about maybe how our kids will turn out, or maybe how they will behave as well. And that on its own will definitely leave us suffering from these losses. Loss of parenting that we think we might have done right, or such things. Let's start here.
So, I like the point that you brought about talking about how, you know, if the whole, basically what I'm getting from what you've just said is that the whole family needs to be submitted to God. So it's not just about the parents barking out instructions or orders for the children to obey, but the parents themselves need to be obedient to God. And that then creates an environment that makes it more, what's the word? Not necessarily easier, but it makes it more of a family culture. Obedience becomes the culture of the family.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I understand that. So before we start demanding it from our children, we ourselves should be obedient to our, to the one that we are accountable to, which is to God. Now, speaking about accountability, who is a child immediately accountable to, his parents or to God?
Okay, I'm just gonna. So you're stopping me from the disobedience part. Okay, now the child issue about accountability is also very important here. Remember, they say children obey your parents in the Lord.
Yes,
for this is right. And we will have to look at the age difference here.
Okay.
When we talk about accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Because before the child is old enough to reason, we are busy with the process of teaching them to obey. And then before they reason, their reason develops, this is the time where the child is accountable to his or her parents. And obedience to parents leads to obedience to God. And that is just as clear from the Bible. So when impressed correctly upon the mind, obedience will help children understand that they will be accountable even in the presence of God in the future. So maybe let's just go into the age here before I can conclude this part that you've asked me about. So what is the age then when the child is accountable?
Right.
Because this is where it is very important.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Jewish culture, when the child is 13 years old, then this child is able to account.
Okay, at 13.
At 13.
Okay.
But when you look at it, this is still the same age that the child is still under what? Under the protective shell of the parents.
Of the parents, yes.
So we will have to look at also, does the child understand right from wrong? Does the child understand disobedience from obedience?
Mm.
And I remember in my age, I kind of felt like I matured very fast. Maybe girls mature very faster than boys.
I've heard that, and I believe that.
So at the age of 12, to be very clear with you,
mm-hmm.
I also took a decision to say I want to serve the Lord and I want to be a born-again Christian.
Right.
And then I got baptized.
Mm.
But from my life throughout that time, I noticed that, in fact, you know, you become accountable for almost everything.
Mm.
And you notice also the shift. You become more conscious about what is so wrong than what is right.
Right.
So I think that's where we should actually put it as.
Okay.
So the child should be at the age where they are able to differentiate between right and wrong.
Wrong. Mm.
And the fact that they are accountable to the parents and to God still leaves the parents more accountable and more responsible.
Mm. Mm.
Mm.
Yeah. So speaking about obedience, back to obedience now, how do we raise our children to be, you know, to be able to be critical thinkers, to be independent thinkers, to make up their own minds, and at the same time, we still want them to be obedient, because there's so much that no matter how much of a critical or independent thinker they're still a child at the end of the day. So they still need, you know, the parents' guidance. They still need to be obedient to their parents. So how do we balance that? Allowing a child to be independent and to think for themselves, but at the same time, be an obedient child, even in those situations that they don't understand.
Yeah. So raising obedient children, I'm going to say raise them with the Bible and the belt. I like the point that you also mentioned that, you know, how do we balance?
Yeah.
You know, Proverbs 14:6, it says it very well that if you spare
the rod,
if you spare the rod,
you
spare the child. Am I right? Yes, I think I'm right.
Yes, I know that. I know that one.
Meaning that they have to get a certain, they have to get discipline with the rod, especially during their formative years.
Mm.
So it should be done only for willful disobedience, and this will help the child to eliminate folly, to eliminate rebellion, and the disrespect for parents.
Yes.
And by adequate parental discipline, we administer it in a wise, loving, and considerate manner.
Mm-hmm.
And this helps the child to learn and understand that wrong behavior carries consequences, and they are unpleasant, and there is suffering that is involved or punishment that is involved.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, and I like the way you put it, the Bible and the belt. The Bible and the belt, they work hand in hand.
Yes, yes. Otherwise, I think we will be raising a world full of children that will still have a bigger problem with how actually character should be built or
right.
character should be formed. Yes.
Right. You know, it's interesting because as much as we talk about how they should be obedient and they must do as they're told, and we also talk about how we want children who think for themselves and who make up their own minds about what's right and wrong, at the end of the day, when we raise them and they have no regard for example, for the law, or they have no regard for the rules at their place of employment and things like that, then in those situations, we don't want someone who's too independent in their thinking.
Yeah. And think about raising independent thinkers.
Right.
You know, let's look at this positive traits that we need to implant to our children.
Right.
We need them to be happy,
mm-hmm.
to be healthy, and to be confident.
Right.
And when we develop this, number one, we have to model and share the behavior, values, and ideals that we want them to develop as independent thinkers.
Right.
So they must develop that sense of self and value communication, especially with us as parents. You know, we have a lot of situation that is arising now where children are unable to communicate with their kids. I don't know whether it's because of gadgets or it's because now everybody has got a cell phone, a tablet, or whatever.
Yeah.
But we lose it there. If there's no proper communication, you won't understand how the child is thinking, how the child is feeling.
Right.
And therefore, you are not going to be able to even initiate or actually have a proper conversation about anything. Number two, you must let your children to know that failure is an essential part of learning and growing.
That's a good one.
So that will help the child to then understand that, you know what, if I have done something wrong, it doesn't mean that is the end of the world.
Right.
And then you have to think about how to overcome that failure.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, you know, children are like sponges. You know, you have to think about it that way. When we deal with the mind of a child, remember it is absorbing especially everything around. So trial and error is how kids learn. And they if they fall short of actually understanding their goal,
yeah,
this will be difficult for them to understand if this is vital for them or if this is actually the end of the road. Am I right, ne?
I hear you. So is it very important? How important is it, rather, for the child to actually understand why they're being told what they're being told? Do we always have to, as parents, do we have to constantly keep on explaining ourselves? Or is it really just, you know, just do as you're told? You'll understand it in the by and by. You'll understand it when you get older. Do they really need to understand at every turn?
I think it's important that they understand it every time.
Okay.
Because I kind of feel like we don't need to actually like push too much independence,
mm-hmm.
but we must also encourage that self-reliance, you know. Because we are too much on, we want to raise independent children.
Yeah.
But then we are losing that self-reliant child.
Right. Yes.
So what am I trying to say? Is that self-reliance is that confident from this child that I'm going to be able, or I have this ability to do things for myself,
mm-hmm.
and then I will be able to actually, I can do it when mom is not there, and then I can just report to say I did this and she will be happy. You see, so for children that means encouraging, and that is development that is also essential for their cognitive, emotional, and behavioral and interpersonal practical skills. So we need to be more considerate about that.
So on Thursday, we're going to be talking about, you know, the future implications for a child who's not even allowed to express themselves, especially as it relates to their relationships in the future and on a larger scale when it comes to standing up against unjust laws and rules and things like that, how we can raise children who are able to stand up to injustice. So we'll talk about that on Thursday. For today, if you have any other final points that you'd like to share before we wrap it up.
Maybe as we wrap up, I can just say that this is really a broad topic,
mm-hmm.
and at the end of the day, I was just looking at, like for example, we didn't even tackle difficult child behavior, and we're supposed to tackle that. So I think we need to deal with that. But for now, maybe I can just wrap up like this to say, there is no difficult child,
mm-hmm.
but we've got a difficult child behavior.
Okay. And what? Okay, I like that. I like that distinction.
Yes. So what parents should now do is, number one, they need to be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
They need to not give up. And they must do what feels right, especially for the child, the family, and everybody around the child. And you must remember, children notice when you do not mean what you're saying. So it's important that we actually deal with such things. Try not to overreact, and, you know, just be as consistent. It's very important that your child sees you. If you are trying to impose a specific behavior, the child must see you actually being consistent on that aspect.
Right.
And then that will help you to then understand then how the child is actually thinking. And as you were telling me about this topic, you actually made me to think about maybe one day we should talk about understanding the child mind, you know?
Definitely.
These people are actually independent thinkers already. It's just that they are not allowed to express. So how do we understand the child mind? And I think that's when we will be able to then take this topic into a level where we want it to be. And remember, it's going to be a process. When we're dealing with anything that has to do with mental health or with the mind, it's a process.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to delving deeper into this subject. We actually have a comment here from a listener. It says, did Adam get trained to be independent, or he was just given laws and had to comply? Clara, isn't independence inherent? Thus, it is merely assumed in the relationship. So we can get deeper into that. We'll get into that comment again on Thursday and get deeper into that, answer any questions that we might receive. But thank you so much for your time this morning, my doctor, and thank you for sharing with us. I'm very interested in getting more into the subject, not just of obedience, but even, like you said, understanding the mind of a child. Because, like you said, they are individuals. They're not an extension of ourselves. They are their own individuals. So definitely we'd love to get a clearer understanding of where they're at.
Yeah. Thank you so much. We look forward to it as well.
Absolutely.
And maybe we'll be live together on studio.
Oh, that would be great. That would be great.
We'll pray for that.
Yes. Yes. Thank you so much. And look forward to talking to you again soon.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.